How are you?
Look at us.
Look at just us.
I was ready. I'm ready for Sunday.
That's all right. We're going to get to Nick this weekend. No problem. He did good on his picks. I'll tell you that.
He did. I think he picked Emma Stone, right? Wasn't he?
I think he got almost everyone right except for Lily Gladstone.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, he did. He did really well. That sucked because I wanted Lily Gladstone too. What are you going to do?
I was disappointed that neither actress won for NIAID because it's my new favorite movie.
You are nothing if not consistent.
Yes, and I have watched it many times because I'm finding it quite inspiring.
We do what we have to do, I guess.
Right?
I couldn't watch that more than once, but yeah, good.
We got to find it where we find it. Yeah, it's one of the ones I've been watching over and over again.
Wow.
No,
it amazes me how you hone in on one thing at a time until you're ready to purge, and then you'll move on to the next thing.
And then I move on.
I am all over the board. We just finished watching Death and Other Details. And then I started The Gentleman on Netflix, and I fucking love it. We're all over the map. And you're like honed in.
I'm honed in. What is The Gentleman? What is that? Is that British?
It is. It's by Guy Ritchie. I think he wrote and directed it, but I don't really recognize anybody in the cast, but it's a pretty good premise, you know, it's a very wealthy family going back, you know, to Dukes and, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And the dad dies, and the one good son is in the RAF. He's in the Royal Army. So he's summoned to come home, and they get ready to read the will. And the oldest son is a bit of a fuck up, it's a little bit funny. Like he is funny. The character, he's like a drug addict, and you know, anything that frivolous that would get someone in trouble, he's into. And so they read the will, and the oldest is expecting to get everything, and it goes to the younger son that's in the army. So he has to handle like all the family business, which he really knows nothing about. It turns out that his dad has had this arrangement with this pretty gnarly crime family that runs a pot plantation on his farm. So the good son ends up kind of like getting involved in that, and it just it spirals. Like every time you think that he's gonna get this family off his land finally, it's like one more thing. Oh wait, I gotta help my brother pay back this debt. Oh, I gotta help them get out of, you know, a sticky situation. And it's like one more thing over and over and over again. It's pretty good. And like I said, it's a little bit funny, so like that makes it the violence, you know, makes the violence okay.
It sounds like almost that, just the part about the brother, the good brother and the other brother, about that old movie It's a Wonderful Life with George Bailey when he got stuck doing all the stuff for the family. Not that the brother was bad, but he just went on and lived his life, and poor George never got to do any of the things he wanted to do.
No, not quite like that, but
not exactly that.
Yeah, but yeah, it's good. It's witty. So that makes it fun. Yeah, and there's just like you like the British stuff, so you probably get it a little bit, but yeah, it's it's not in London, it's kind of out in the country where castles and stuff are, you know, like that
oh yeah yeah
But yeah, it's Guy Ritchie, so it's a little bit witty, and there's a little bit of violence and good ass beatings. but yeah, all in all, so far I'm loving it. I just, as a matter of fact, I texted my stepdad and said, "You got to watch this show. You got to watch this." He was like, "Oh, all right, I'm down." So.
And Guy Ritchie, he was with Madonna, right? Wasn't he married to Madonna?
Yeah, a long, long time ago. Yeah. Oh. But he's a pretty active filmmaker over here.
Yeah, yeah. That was when she turned British, when she changed identity and her name, I think, and everything.
Stupid, honestly. So that's pretty good. Like, I'm kind of digging that. I have like a whole list on my phone of things I'm going to watch now that Gemma just left this afternoon.
just this stuff afternoon. I know
she wouldn't like.
Yeah. So how long is she gone? How long will she be gone?
A little over 3 weeks. She'll be back on April 4th.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's just me and cats. I felt like my whole life is just feeding them and cleaning their bowls. It's, God.
Like, so now, what will you do for dinners? Like, are you going to be making your own dinners and stuff? Or
I'm going to eat a lot of meat.
Real meat.
Because I can. Yeah. Like, tonight I already had a Five Guys burger.
And, okay. There you go.
And wait. And a peanut butter bacon milkshake.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mind blown. So wow. Good.
Yeah. What do you put in that? Actual bacon? Does actual bacon it's go
actual,
in?
Actual like bacon bits that you would get on a salad, like real bacon bits chopped up real fine.
Oh, wow.
And like peanut butter ice cream. It's ridiculous.
Okay,
it's
so peanut good. Butter ice cream, the bacon bits.
Yeah.
Regular milk?
Yeah, I think so. It's like, I mean, Five Guys really does the best shakes.
You know? It's Five Guys thing. Oh, okay.
Yeah, when I first moved here and we went someplace and I ordered a milkshake, it was like milk water. I'm like, what is this? Like, what's wrong with your ice cream? This is not even cold. Like, it was really bad. It was like whipped milk. It was horrible. And the same thing with when we went to like a van, like you would go get ice cream from the ice cream truck.
Yeah, yeah, right.
It was like air circulated through soft ice cream, which made it not cold. Like it was the shape of like a Dairy Queen cone, but when you licked it, it was like a marshmallow, you know what I mean? Like, and they're all like, "Oh, you have to have a Mr. Whippy." I'm like, "This is bullshit."
Mr. Whippy, kind of like Mr. Softy when we used to have Mr. Softy.
Yeah, but nothing like it. It's so much worse. So yeah, Five Guys is like my go-to for like an actual, literal, authentic milkshake. You know? I think that's why they do so good here, because as traditional as Britain is and the way they are about their food, like their curries and their fish and chips and their kebabs and their shawarmas and all these, mm-hmm. you know, steak and ale pies and bangers and mash. And it's like the same thing over and over and over again, no expansion. When you stick an American place, they can tell you all they want that they're down for, you know, I'm good with a curry three nights a week. Stick a Five Guys on the corner and they eat that five nights a week because they're just not exposed to it. When they get exposed to it, you know, they're kind of like, oh, I get it. And if they've been to America and they come back, all they talk about is the food and the portions.
Oh, wow. And the portions.
They love IHOP. They don't make fluffy pancakes here. They're like crepes. So when they go to America and they have like a big, you know, fluffy pancake with a bunch of bullshit on top, like strawberries and ice cream and whipped cream, and they go nuts. They're so full of shit. You know, it actually is hilarious. It really is.
So they're not really known for their food, the Brits, is what you're saying.
They never have been, but they're trying so hard to get there.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Like when I first moved here, there was no Taco Bell anywhere. Now there's like one in every city center, you know.
And you had McDonald's and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, they have McDonald's, but it doesn't, some things just don't taste the same. Like none of the breakfast stuff tastes like our breakfast stuff.
Yeah.
It was like a plain pork sausage with no seasoning, you know?
So it's
not a breakfast sausage.
Yeah. That's interesting. So they make it different. McDonald's actually has a different version of their breakfast stuff for England or probably every country, whatever country
they're
in.
I think they do in every country. When we were in France, we went to a McDonald's there and had, you know, the, like they say in Pulp Fiction, a cheeseburger royale. but like their fries have garlic dipping sauces.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like some things are just really, really different depending in what country they are. But yeah, here it's just a few things that they don't get right. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, fries are the same. Burgers pretty much the same. You know, your chicken sandwiches and all that kind of stuff, fine. They just call them different things. Like they call chicken sandwiches a chicken burger.
Oh, I guess I can see that, but not really. You have chicken chop meat. As gross as that is.
Right.
God, I was gonna ask you a question. Oh, do we have that peanut butter bacon shake here at Five Guys here? Oh, because one right outside of my, like right over the bridge, there's a Five Guys.
Like when you go there and you order a milkshake, they give you like a list of 15 things. So you pick what kind of ice cream, you pick what kind of additives, you know, so you can literally come up with anything you want, basically.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I see that.
So good. So good. So I'm going to eat like a fuck ton of meat. I got a beef joint. I got a beef joint ready to cook. I got
cow delivered.
like a cola ham, ham hocks coming. Like I am eating every kind of meat I can. And then we still have Tuesday pub night. So I'll get like a big filthy burger. But I have to be careful because I'm not, when I go to like a regular restaurant that's not a chain or a pub, I'm nervous about the burgers because I've realized over time that I don't like grass-fed Irish beef.
Yeah.
Don't like that.
And
usually it'll say it on the menu if it is, and I won't order it, but I'm a little bit leery. Like there's just something a little different because, you know, like our beef is corn-fed, you know, and that's a difference in taste. So
when it's
a British cow that's been grass fed, it doesn't taste the same and it's a little bit strange. So most places we go, I'll make Hazel order a burger and I'll taste a bite. And then if I like it, I'll put it in my phone so I know I can order it next time. And if I don't like it, no loss, you know? Yeah.
Wow.
So we have a system. We definitely
over it. Yes, it's the system of moving the cuisine, the Brit cuisine.
Trust. It's a trust, but you know, Hazel will be like, I'll get the burger and then you can have it. we know the routine. But I'm into big salads. I feel like Elaine from Seinfeld. A big salad. So at the pub that we go to, I've been ordering this salad and it's like this real night. For once, it's like a decent portion because, you know, like when you go to a restaurant in the States and you order some kind of salad, whether it's a Cobb salad or a chicken Caesar or something, it's literally in a serving bowl and you eat it the entire time and you don't put a dent in it. Right?
Right.
It looks
right.
Like you haven't even picked at it.
Right. Right.
Over here and I ordered like a salad as a meal. It was this tiny little side salad.
A dinner salad.
A dinner salad with a cherry tomato and red onions on top and some weird dressing that I didn't even ask for. And it was standard, like across the board. But pubs are now getting the culinary scene. Like they're getting completely into the culinary scene now. So I get this salad and it's like this really nice bib lettuce with Roquefort dressing, golden raisins, really thin sliced pear, nice thin slices of pear, and roasted cauliflower.
Oh.
And I mean like brown roasted cauliflower. And it is so good. And it's the right size to, you know, to make you feel like you actually had a big salad for dinner. So that's been my like standard thing on pub night.
Sounds super healthy. Everything in that is good.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it is. I always get a side of fries though, because I got to fuck it up. But
you gotta have.
Yeah. And they're so nice at this pub. Like they will literally do anything. Like it's supposed to come with like walnuts too. And I'm like, can you leave out the nuts? You know, they leave out the nuts. And like, because Gemma's gluten-free, they will make a gluten-free batter to make her onion.
Wow.
Ring. Yeah.
That's so nice of them.
I know. Like they're really, really good. And they already use a gluten-free batter on their fish. So when you get fish and chips, and when I tell you the fish and chips, like the fish is this big, like it hangs off the plate 2 inches on either side. Like it's huge.
Yeah.
They will use they use gluten-free batter so she could actually have it. It's really good. They're really, really nice. And now that we're like regulars, they'll do anything. Like I ordered my salad and the lady was reading the specials, you know, like on the board. And she said, mm-hmm. We also have a dessert that's not on the menu and it's an eat and mess. And I'm like, oh, okay. I want to try that. Like I always see them on menus and it's vanilla ice cream. It's going to sound disgustingly sweet. It's like vanilla ice cream with meringue, like broken meringue all over. And then like strawberry and strawberry sauce mixed in.
Oh, that sounds sweet.
And it looks hideously like a mess. It's called the eaten mess. So I was like, oh, save one for me. I'm definitely gonna try one. So I was the only one that was getting it, but they made it like so big so that I could like share it with Hazel. You know? They brought over like all the spoons and everything. And like they're just really good people. They're really nice.
It's nice to treat your new customers really good, and you know that way they'll come back.
It's been there forever. We never really went regularly, like every once in a while we would go. It's a little more expensive than all the other pubs, but it's worth it, you know. It's definitely ambiance is nice, the service is good, the food is amazing, it's never rowdy loud, and it's got that great outdoor setup. So now that the weather is getting a little bit nicer, if you want to sit outside, it's covered. It's got fairy lights everywhere. The seats all have like a sheepskin backing on them. And you know, so you're not feeling a breeze. You know, it's like, it's done really, really well. So yeah, we've been, you know, I'll be on a meat journey for a couple of weeks. And Hazel's picked out a couple restaurants that are on the must try.
Restaurant.
Like we can go try restaurants now. We don't have to worry like, oh, Gemma can't eat there, like, oh, there's not a lot of gluten-free things, we could just fucking go, you know.
I was thinking about her because I watch, I'm sure you don't watch Seeking Sister Wives. It's my guilty mind. I only like certain
wrong with you.
And I actually will say, oh, Seeking Sister Wives is on. But I mean, like, I watch it like it's my mindless stuff, you know, like, that's, but it's kind of like.
I watch the Family Stallone is my new guilty pleasure.
Yeah, it runs in the background, you know. And if I miss it, I'm okay with it. I don't have to, like, catch up. But there's this couple, it's a twist on this new couple because it's the wife that wants the sister wife, not the husband. So she met this girl and she now is introducing her to the husband. And I was just thinking about Gemma, because when they go to the restaurant, she's like, what can you make me that's gluten-free, soy-free, vegetarian, vegan? And it was
that's what we go through. I mean, you know, the thing of it is she's getting really good. As long as we know the name of the place, she will look at the menu ahead of time. And there's just times where she goes, you know what? There's nothing here that I can have. So you and Hazel go and I'll stay home and make my own stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah. She's disciplined, really disciplined. And I guess if you don't eat meat,
it's really all- about that anymore. It's not really about like the meat thing. Yeah. Like there's definitely an ideology behind it, but the gluten thing is, whereas other people have celiac and it makes them extremely sick, for her, it triggers migraines.
Yeah.
And they last like 3 or 4 days. So people avoid it at any cost, you know, to not have a migraine. And the dairy thing, it wasn't an allergy, it was an intolerance that brings on like muck, like you feel stuffy and you know. So she just stays away from it because those things just make her uncomfortable. So it's not so much as being disciplined. It's, I'm not having it. Like, I'm not living in pain. I'll just avoid it.
Right. Yeah. Nothing's worth eating that makes you feel like that.
Yeah, exactly. So I get it. And, you know, as hard as it is to always be cooking like 2 meals or whatever, mm-hmm. we did that thing where you send in hair samples.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. What is that to see about? Is that the thing like your blood type?
No. It tells you your intolerances.
Oh.
And exactly what you might be allergic to. So we did that. And all the things that, you know, that she avoids and everything, those are her strongest intolerances.
You know? So she figured it out on her own. Before the hair test.
Like a battery of tests first to eliminate allergy, mm-hmm. celiac, you know, eliminate all those things to find out, you know, what was causing it. And between taking out the test and eliminating a lot of mainstream issues,
mm-hmm.
then she went to Eastern medicine doctor called an alternatic that's right. Like 100 steps, you know, from our door.
Yeah.
had acupuncture and had some tests done there. And yeah, it really turned out that the phlegm from the dairy was definitely like a huge, easy, like, yep, that's what's doing it kind of thing. And then it was the gluten that took a long time to find out if that's what was causing the migraines, because that just sounds ridiculous. Like when go to a doctor and say, it feels like if I eat carbohydrates or pasta, you know, whatever, within a day or two, I will get a migraine that will last 4 days. And they would say, oh, that's ridiculous. That's
right.
Like the one doctor told her it's psychosomatic and she went nuts on him.
Like, oh, God. I'm psycho. Oh, with the psychosomatic.
He was like, I'm not going to sit here and listen to a doctor that's not taking me seriously. And my charting my own medical history for them and mm-hmm. serving it to them on a silver platter so that they don't have to do these things or ask these questions. Yeah. And he's going to turn around and say that.
So yeah, that's the worst.
But she had endoscopies and ultrasounds and all kinds of things to make sure that there was nothing else going on in her stomach that would give her pains. You know, she'll get a pain like up, you know, underneath her ribs. And then mm-hmm. the migraine. So it's just easier to not do it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even today, like in her carry-on bag, she had Vegemite and plant-based cheese sandwiches. Little packets of oat milk powder. Not to mention what was packed in her regular suitcase so she could eat. But just even on the plane, because you can say you want a vegetarian meal, but it's going to be vegetables and pasta. And she can't have the pasta.
Right.
So she just brought her own food and she ate at the airport because there was a Wagamama's. So she could have a tofu curry and, you know, be fine with it.
And she enjoys that food, or does she just pretty much eat to survive?
I think she's been doing it for so long that she can't even remember what good stuff tastes like. So she's okay with it, you know? And like I will season things. You know, like you guys have Impossible Burgers there, right?
Yeah.
Your plant-based burgers.
Yeah.
So these we have our Beyond Burgers.
Yeah, we have those too.
Yeah. So she can eat anything that's from the Beyond range. So she'll do her burgers from there. She can do sausages and meatballs. So if she gets meatballs, I season them. You know what I mean? Like, I'll put seasoning on them so they're not bland or boring or, you know, whatever. And, you know, when they're cooking, I'm like, these actually smell like real meatballs. You know? Not the
They taste like real meatballs, though.
I can't bring myself. I just can't. I can't. And the burgers, I really don't like how oily they are. Like, it makes the house smell like Beyond Burgers for 2 days. You know, like, I can't. Even with the...
Oh, yeah, that's awful. Yeah.
It's really bad. Like, no offense to anybody, and especially not Beyond Burger, but they literally smell like when you open a can of dog food.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. So I can't get past that in order to even try it. But there was a range here called Moving Mountains that I really liked. And I started having those when I worked at the pub. That was their meatless burger that they offered.
Yeah.
So I always had that on my break and I loved it. And so, you know, we had a freezer full of them because at that time, like, I was trying, you know, to get on board with what Gemma was going through. And it turned out that they have gluten in them.
Oh.
So she couldn't have the Moving Mountains anymore. We had to find
another thing off the list.
Yeah. But thank God, like I said, she can have the whole range of Beyond products, which is good, you know. But yeah, when she's not here, like, I cook, just for me, you know, we'll eat like regular pastas and a bunch of meat and like all that stuff. So I'm kind of looking forward to it.
That is funny. Well, you enjoy.
You know, the thing, the hard part too is traveling.
Like, yeah.
You know, I mean, you were just in New York. We were just in New York. And we spent those 3 days before the cruise looking for gluten-free. And I shit you not when I say we spent the entire mornings looking for gluten-free bagels, gluten-free pizza crusts, and what was the other thing? There was something else.
You probably can't just go into a pizza place, right? You have to go to a
special right. Pizza. So there's an app called Happy Cow.
Yeah.
That'll show you, it'll pinpoint your location and show you any vegan restaurant within you put in the range, you know? So we were using that, and there were a few, but every time we would go to one bakery, it was closed, couldn't find the other one. I mean, there were just, but we would just spend our days looking for things that she could eat, and it was exhausting. Like, it was exhausting for me, and I, you know, it wasn't an issue, but I felt so bad for her that we finally ended up ordering on Uber Eats, like, a vegan, like, tofu Thai food.
Oh,
delivered right to the hotel where we were staying, and then I walked around the corner and got the best pizza of my life. But you know, like, I'm not going to do that. I'm in New York. I want those things. I want
you want the bagels.
I want cannolis. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's really really hard to travel, and I told you, like, the whole thing on the cruise was, you know, they had a lot of vegetarian options, but not many gluten-free. And that sometimes that's the challenge, is like, they might have a plant-based burger that she can have, but it's not going to be on a gluten-free bun, you know, knife and fork it. It's just not really a burger, is it? So yeah, we run into a lot of issues like that, but you know, that's why I like traveling with somebody else that can eat, they can eat joyous food with me.
Especially when you're in New York, you know, you want the pizza, the bagels, you know.
Oh, my God. It's
all that crazy with the food, because we had so much to do in such a short period of time, and we didn't know where to find those things. You know, like, we were in Times Square where our hotel was, but to me, it was so busy and confusing. And then, you know, you have to walk places. They did have that Cake Boss, his bakery is right there, you know, the guy.
Oh,
Buddy. And I got a rainbow cake. I'm meaning to put the picture up to put like for the show, you know, it's it was really, really good. It was very sweet, but it was a big slice of cake, rainbow. Right. And that was, and, and of course the cannolis and all the Italian stuff.
Did you guys go, like, did you just like straight off go to like your old stomping grounds and look for like restaurants and places you remember or?
Well, the thing is our stomping grounds was Long Island. So we were not like a city girl when I lived there. Right. So I didn't, we were really fish out of water. You know, we were literally walking around. Marianne had the GPS on her phone, the walk one. Yeah. And just going in circles. And I was so tired that first day. I think I told you everything fell in the puddle. Did I talk about that on the show? That they call street juice.
Juice.
No one knows what it is.
Yeah. The unknown liquid. Yep.
Oh my God. So that first day, the scarf and the gloves were gone. And I'm like, oh my God. Now I don't, that's all I said before I left. As long as my hands are warm, my head is warm, and my neck is warm, I'm good. It doesn't matter how cold it is. Because I brought my
two stores down would probably be selling like I Love New York hats and scarves.
Right? But I don't know why we couldn't find it. They did have hats, but the scarf and the gloves was hard to find. So I did get a scarf from somebody on the street, but it wasn't a warm scarf, you know, it was like a fashion scarf. So, and then my niece talked me into getting this hat. And I didn't know it was made out of wool. So I'm walking down the street. We were going to MoMA, the Museum of Modern Art. Yeah. I didn't know they called MoMA, but you know, the cool people call it MoMA. So I know that. And I'm like, I think I got lice. Now I got lice. What was I thinking buying a hat from a guy on the street? Who does that? And then I'm like, maybe it's just made out of wool. Cause I'm not allergic to many things, but I am a little allergic to wool.
Yeah.
So I think
that's,
it was
definitely
just
a texture thing. Isn't it?
Get advice, but thank that God.
That's so funny.
So, but
shit. But yeah, like for us, because we only had 3 days, I definitely think like doing the bus tour was,
oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
It was a way for me to see every single thing I've ever seen on television that I wanted to see and would have never been able to.
Yeah.
It was like 90 minutes and then a break. And then you could get back on and do another 90 minutes, which we tried to. But at that point, it had gotten way too hot. Like it was good in the morning.
Yeah.
It was still like, you know, like 76, 77. But the temperature just kept creeping up all day. And when we took that break in Times Square, we went to, where do we eat? Bubba Gump.
Where were you in the city? What part of the city were you in?
We were like the lower east part of like downtown where nothing is.
Yeah, right.
We took an Uber, we got dropped off in Times Square. We walked to where the bus tour, because like you don't, Hazel and Gemma had bought the tickets, so they knew what we were looking for, like what colors and, you know, whatever. Because, like, there's one every 10 steps, and you don't know if that's the one. So they knew where to go, and we did it in the first half of the day, and it was nice. We were moving along. There was good breeze. But, man, after we had a couple watermelon margaritas at Bubba Gump and a fuck ton of shrimp. So then we had the seafood sweats on top of the margaritas.
Oh, God.
We're getting on this bus at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon when the heat is at like 87 degrees. And the traffic had gotten so much worse that there was no breeze. Like it was an open time bus, but there was just no fucking breeze. We were just like constantly stuck in traffic. So we got off and took an Uber back to the hotel, and just like that, I think that was the night that we ended up ordering food right to the hotel because we were so tired and so sweaty. And after we took showers and everything, like they had the nicest, this is going to sound so stupid for a Holiday Inn, they had the nicest courtyard. I don't want to say a nice lobby. It was an okay lobby. It was kind of done like a really cool living room. you know. So you could like sit there. They had water, they had juice, and they had like refrigerators where you could buy like sodas and stuff like that. And you know, we would hang out there, or we would sit outside, and like, so we ordered food and then just sat there and ate, and it was really nice. And like, directly, I mean, when the doors opened and you stepped outside of the hotel, there was a Burger King right on the right there, right across the street.
Nice.
And like two stores down from that was a Dunkin' Donuts. So that was all I needed to be happy. A bus tour, Burger King and Dunkin', and I was cool. But we did, you know, like I did manage to find like a really good little pizza place that's, you know, sold by the slice too. I didn't even have to buy a whole
pizza. Nice. We couldn't
only me them. Eating it, you know, like Hazel wanted the Thai food and Gemma got Thai food. And I'm like, I'm not leaving New York without having pizza. Like, you fuck me on bagels.
Right?
I didn't expect to have pizza, you know?
We could not find a buy the slice place. I don't know why. They were like restaurants. And like I said, we just probably didn't know where to go, you know, because we didn't know the area. Not every app tells you where every little
thing is. Definitely. Yeah. You know, if
it's pizza, then you might end up at a restaurant, which is what happened, like a regular restaurant, you know? Right. So, we did go to Juniors. We saw a play and we went to Juniors, which is kind of like, I guess you do that, right?
Yeah, right. Yes, exactly. Well, most like the celebrities go to Joe Allen and then the audience goes to Juniors.
Exactly. And we were in like you were in the extreme with the heat and we were in the extreme with the cold because it was like bitter cold. Like I forgot how cold feels. Because the coldest I ever felt was, you know, lately in the last 10 years was Savannah, and that doesn't get as cold as New York.
Oh no, that's a different kind of cold.
It was not cold. So when we got out of that play, man, it was so cold and I could not find a cab because it was Broadway on a Saturday night and everybody get the cabs. Joni had the Uber thing, but I'm not, I like doing the cab thing, and Marion just wanted to walk. She was on this mission that she had to walk, but poor Joni, she's a Florida baby, and she was just, could not
get
cold. She got sick. She was sitting there. Her eyes were glazed over. She's coughing. Her throat was hurt. I go to Marion, look at her. You're killing her. Look at her. We need to get in a cab with some heat, please.
We would get an Uber. And the first thing we would say is, do you have air conditioning? Yeah. But like some of the cabs didn't. Like when we got in a cab, there was no air conditioning, but it was like 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. It
wasn't too bad. But again, thank God Gemma has the presence of mind to kind of like have Waze on her phone.
Mm-hmm.
And not Waze, I forget what it, I don't know, Google Maps or something. But she was like, you know, when you're so exhausted from traveling all day, you know, and you get in the cab after hauling your luggage and all that shit through the airport and customs and all the bullshit, and you get in the cab and you're not even paying attention. You're checking your messages and looking at your phone. And the ride to our hotel was like something like 40 minutes. And, you know, again, it's muggy, it's nighttime or whatever. Like Gemma just happened to glance down and look at her phone and then look up at where we were and say to the cab driver, that's our hotel right there. And he just kind of like slammed on the brakes, made a hard right, and we were there. But like we would have went right past it, you know, like nobody was paying attention. And God knows how far he would have went before he figured it out. So
have to know. Yeah, they don't always know.
Yeah, exactly. That's the difference. Like when you're, you know, I know that Uber and Lyft and Bolt and all these, you know, cool rideshare apps and stuff are the new thing. But when you're in London, for me, I don't feel safe unless I'm in a black cab.
I agree with you in any city.
Like they have to take these mandatory tests. They got to know about.
Yes. Uh-huh.
If you think Florida is bad with road closures and construction and new things happening and new things being times that by 10, and that's what London is like. So you never know whether that this road's going to be closed, whether they're doing works over here, whether
right
so these guys know, Like they don't they're not looking at their phone and trying to figure out and avoid accidents. They just fucking know. Yes. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I just feel so much better. And you can tap, you know, your debit card. You don't have to
Yes.
So
I agree with that.
Yeah. Like, well, a lot of times what we end up doing is we take a car service from here where we live, because there are no black cabs out here, you know. We're not in central London, so we'll use a car service. Like when we went to see Hannah Gadsby, we our service to the Palladium,
mm-hmm.
and you can book the car to pick you up like 2 hours later, you know.
Yeah.
And get you home. Or if you're going to go eat somewhere, or if you want to go into Soho for a drink or something before you go home, that's when you take the black cabs, when you're already in there.
Right.
You
know? Right.
And then you have a car service pick you up to take you all the way back out here, because they're more familiar with the roads out here.
Right. You know? Yeah, that's true.
It was a learning experience. Like I didn't understand any of this when I first got here.
Yeah, but I think that's true for most cities. Like when I was in New Orleans, I had the hotel concierge get me a cab, not an Uber.
Right.
I was with Mary Beth on that trip and another girl, because we were playing in a music conference, and they both had Uber apps and I didn't have that. And I said, but when there was a point where we separated, because I had a couple of shows in a different part of town than they did. And I'm like, I just want to get, because I'm in a strange city. Now I'm getting in a cab by myself.
Yeah, going to New Orleans can be a little creepy.
In New Orleans. Yeah. So I'm like, I want like a real cab, because at least I feel a little safer that way. You know, I mean, anybody can be a psycho at the wheel, but yeah. And I felt that way in New York too.
Yeah, I'm the same way. You know, the hard part is some of the places that we travel, especially, you know, around here and in Europe, and when we went to Dublin, it mm-hmm. was really hard to find a cab anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere. Like only the airport. You know what I mean? Like
there
wasn't a city where you step out on the street and you find a cab. So we ended up using Uber a lot, especially because my mom at that point was using a wheelchair. And so we always had to order like the big people mover.
Right.
Cat, you know, so it was good for that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, when she comes anyways, we rent like a six-seater, like people carrier for the week.
And right.
Wherever we're going, it's no big deal, you know, to throw her wheelchair, her walker, her cane, you know, everything she needs.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just how, cars are so small here. Like the first couple of times that we picked them up from the airport, oh my God. Like me and my mom in the back seat and Gemma driving and Rick up front, and me and my mom are in the back seat. We've got her, you know, her carry-on stuff from the plane, Rick's carry-on stuff on our laps, and the wheelchair between our knees and the front seats. There's no room in the back because of the two pieces of luggage, and that's your whole trunk full, you know?
Right?
Like, oh my God, this is unbelievable. So yeah, we just decided every time that we have guests or whatever, we just rent a van, you know?
Yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, we took an Uber to Jersey because my sister, first of all, from the beginning wanted to rent a car. And I said, you know, it's probably not a great idea because people that live here get lost in Jersey. We don't even live here, and we have to get to that wedding on time. Please, let's just get a car. So we ended up getting an Uber for that. And because we couldn't get a taxi to take us to Jersey.
Of course.
But I found it so hard to believe that Uber and Lyft and all of those services really did put a huge dent in the taxi businesses, cab driver was
and they'll tell you, like they will tell you, like we took a cab on the return of the cruise. We were back in New York and we had to get from the port to Jamaica near LaGuardia, where we had a hotel room for the afternoon so that we could freshen up before the flight. And you would have thought that we asked this guy to drive us to the Bahamas. So he takes us he takes us to, you know, to Jamaica or whatever, and we get to our hotel, and it was $120 for the cab fare, and I gave him $50 as a tip, and he looked at the 50 and he went, "That's it?
Really?
I just took you across town or whatever." And I'm like, "Oh my God, I threw in another 20. Gemma threw in a 5. He's only had no cash." I'm like, "I don't, what do you want to do? You want to rape one of us?" Well, I mean,
oh my God.
And he just like snatched the money and left. I was like, what a
oh my God.
Yeah.
You just never know when you're traveling.
They're not pleasant. Some of them aren't pleasant.
Oh, no.
You gotta expect it. You know, you're in New York, you gotta expect it.
Yeah, I had one.
I will say, like, I didn't find that, you know, that people were as awful as I expected. There was a lot of homelessness.
Yeah.
A lot of druggies that would hold the door open for you, hoping for a $1 tip. And I couldn't understand why every morning the same guy would, like, I get it. He was at Dunkin' Donuts. That was his territory. And he would open the door for you. And he opened the door for me, and I reached in my pocket, gave him what I thought was a 1.
Uh-oh.
5 seconds later, I realized it was a 10. Then I'm wondering why he's following me and opening every door to every store that I'm going in. And I'm like, I turned around and said, like, right in his face, "It was a mistake."
Oh my God. That's funny.
All you're getting from me for the next 3 days that I'm here.
That is funny. Don't bother. Don't open any more doors.
Oh my God. I couldn't believe this guy would have followed me on the bus tour if I'd let him. Unbelievable thing. So you had the problem of Joni being sick, right? Nobody planning anything in advance.
None of that stuff.
Not wanting to do ride shares. So yeah, you were kind of screwed, man. You were kind of screwed.
Yeah, she didn't want to do, I wanted to do the cab. She didn't really care. She just didn't want to do cars. She was just going to walk. But it got to the point where I was just tired of walking in circles because we didn't always know where we were going. And then the other thing is we were trying to pack so many things into this one little trip that we didn't have the luxury to walk everywhere because we didn't have the time.
Yeah, you're like, let's move.
Another thing, you know, it's like, it's far. I'd love to walk there, but we don't have time because now we have to get to the play, you know, because we wanted to see the museum and then we have to get to the play. And so, you know, and then we already had the tickets for the play because they stood online early in the morning for Kimberly Akimbo, which was a really good play.
Yeah, I heard really good things about that.
And so we didn't have the luxury of the time.
Right.
And then I didn't have the luxury of my scarf and gloves. But I would have eventually found them if I could have gotten to a store, maybe that. But we were always
like, you didn't even really have time to shop.
No time to shop because then we had the wedding.
Right.
And the wedding in Jersey. And then we were meeting my cousin. And I have to, my cousin lives in the city. So we met her the next night before we went home. And I had the best Thai food in the city.
Oh, okay.
So out of all the foods that we got, she took us there because we just made mistakes going to the wrong places, not knowing.
Yeah. And you do spend a lot of time like head down looking at your phone. And a lot of times I'm going to make a seething confession right now. I much prefer going into London with Hazel because she doesn't like to walk. Whereas Gemma will go, "Oh, it's only a 10-minute walk," but it turns out
right?
20 or 25 because we didn't make the right turn or we're going in the wrong direction. You know?
Right.
So I get super, super frustrated with her to the point of like, I can feel myself looking like that emoji that's snorting out steam.
Yeah, so that was me. That was totally me.
So she's like super aware of that now. And she won't drag me like through the streets. But like when we go, a lot of times we go to the Soho Theater to see like we saw Hannah Enminder there from Hacks.
I love
Garland there. It's a great theater. Like it can accommodate like a big name star, or there's like a little basement where people are trying out new shit, like Jeff Garland was and Hannah Enminder was. And it's very intimate, like it just feels like a bar, you know? So it's a really good spot, but there's not, and there are things around it, but like for me, I get so sick of Wagamama's because it's one of the few places that Gemma has some unlimited options there.
Yeah.
Free noodles and tofu, and you know, you can have curry, you could have katsu, you could, you know, you could have pho, and it's just like she loves it, but I get super sick of it. So when we go to the Soho Theater, I want to go through Leicester Square because there's a Burgers and Lobsters. There's really good restaurants there, you know?
Yeah.
But she'll go, okay, well, we could walk. And I'm like, I'm not doing it. There's so many little side streets in London that you think you can cut through and get to the next place, but you realize you can't. Now you're doing this and you're
weaving.
So I get so frustrated. So, you know, Hazel's just like calling a car, you know, like grab a cab, you know, like that kind of thing. But in the beginning, it was fun because like a couple of times we met Lucy and Mandy in London, and we went to Madame Tussauds and, you know, walked around, went to Harrods, went to Fortnum and Mason. And that kind of stuff's fun because it's all in one little area.
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ, when you're just hoofing it to get to a theater or.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Another reason why I liked working for Sharon Glass, because she didn't want to walk anywhere. And she's like, here's my credit card. Here's the account for the car service. I don't want to walk anywhere. Like, I want cars picking me up right on the doorstep. You got it. Yes.
Spoiled celebrity. But then she was doing a one woman show, right? Where she just never stopped for all that time.
Yeah. So of course she went
anywhere.
I have to tell you one of the funniest stories about working with her is, like, I would order her car at night and it would take her to where she was staying in Holland Park or wherever it was. And I was staying in Kensington because, believe it or not, I couldn't get to London before noon when I had to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to leave from here where I live because of the commuters in the morning. Like, I would stand there where it says mind the gap, waiting for the train.
Oh, mind the gap.
And I would be like, oh, look at me. Like, it's so empty. This is great. And this would be at like about 8:30, about 8:20. And the train into London comes at 8:25. So I would be like, plenty of time. And I'm standing there, and like in 3 minutes, the platform was so jam packed. And I was like, oh my God. So I would keep moving back because I was getting nervous about falling down the tracks because of the people, right? So I moved back. The train would come, the doors would open up, everybody would push and shove. And the doors would close, and I'd still be standing there. And this would happen 4 times.
Oh my God.
I wouldn't even be able to get on the train until like 10:30, take it to like a 4 or 5 stops, get off at Clapham,
change
trains, go to a different platform, change trains, and then end up someplace else where I had to get on the tube to get to Hammersmith to get. So it was infuriating. Like, I'm like, I cannot get here on time. And finally Sharon said, where are you coming from? And I'm like far away, you know, like I showed her on the map or whatever. And she goes, why are you just staying at Deb's? You know, like, that is a rented, paid for flat. She's not there. And I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, perfect. That was perfect.
So she handed me Deb's keys and said, just stay there. So then it was like so easy because I'd call myself a car. I'd go pick her up.
Right.
So at night, after the show was over, I called her a car one night, and I would book her in at either the Ivy or Joe Allen for dinner. And she always had somebody that was meeting her there. Her agent would go with her or whatever. So then I would book the car to take her home from the restaurant. So I book her the car, and it's taking her home. And she says to the driver, could you stop at one of these little mini mart places here? I just want to get an ice cream. And the guy's like, sure, you know. So he stops, and she, not thinking that we're on the other side of the road, opens up the car door as a moped's coming by.
Oh, geez.
And it hits the moped and knocks the wing mirror off.
Oh, my and God.
The guy, like, you know, stops and he turns around and everything. And she goes, I really don't want, this is like a car service and I don't want them to get in trouble and I don't want anything to mess with my account. I'm in good standing. Can I just give you all the cash I have so you can buy yourself a new mirror?
Oh, my God.
He forked him over like 250 pounds for a $20 wing mirror.
He was happy. He didn't care.
I'm like, that's how you solve problems. It's throw money at it.
Throw money at it. Right. Yeah. That's how the celebrities do it. But I do that when I can.
I forget about all the time. Like when Hazel drops us off every Tuesday and I have to get out of the car because she doesn't, instead of coming into our lot, she just stops right there. And I'll be like ready to open the door. And Gemma will always like put her hand on my shoulder and be like, wait, there's something. Sometimes I feel like I've been here 3 days and sometimes I feel like I've been here 20 years. So can't figure it out.
I think I could get used to the city living. If I had been there a little bit more, like another few days or a week, I would have been fine.
You definitely need a little
that out, you know,
a little time to get acclimated and a little time to put a plan together.
Yeah. You know? I mean, there's a part of me that feels like I like that kind of life. Like I could like it, but maybe not. Well, I don't know if I would like it all the time because I don't really, you know, I'm not really, I try to pretend I'm in the city here, but I'm not, you know. Well, couldn't be anyone not in the city from where I am, but.
No, but I mean, I think that the thing about where you are though, you are right there within kind of walking distance of bars, restaurants, club, beach.
Yes. That, you know, I am. 7-Eleven for that, quick stuff.
Yeah, like that feels like hustly bustly.
It does. And so, then looking out the window at night and seeing the building across the street, like a big building, you know, like that's kind of.
Definitely. Like I think it's the best of both worlds, kind of.
Yeah. I try to feel that way.
Like outward, like my mom feels very suburban.
Yeah, suburban.
You know, I mean, there's every national chain of every single restaurant you could possibly want. All the houses look the same. All the roofs look the same. Yes. You know, all the landscaping is the same. So yeah, it feels super, super suburban. But then, well, listen, this has been fun.
Yes, awesome.
Next week we'll have Nick, and we're going to do a side by side comparison from his Oscar to the actual winners, and that'll be fun. And then we've got the girls from Skirt SoFlo, which is a new actual physical lesbian magazine.
That's amazing.
Also,
that's
so exciting. So they're doing a digital version, but they also have the physical magazines up and down the drive where you can pick them up at all the different places in Wilton Manors. And it's new. It just started in February. So we're going to have the girls on to talk about that. And then we're going to try and get Araya back and talk about some spring fling movies.
Yes, I'm just looking to see if I can hear back from her. Not yet, but it usually takes her a couple of days. So
yeah, no worries. But we know we've got her end of the month, so that's good. So yeah, we've got a great March.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Well, listen, I'm so happy that you have a busy month coming up, but we'll stay in touch, and I'll see you next week or this weekend with Nick.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. I'm leaving him on the wall.
Leaving him on the wall. He's right there. Okay. All right. Talk to you soon, Nick.
Bye.
Why do you always run?
It's like, never stop chasing your dreams.
We drank way too much whiskey.
See?
And I confess my addiction is you. Don't ask me why I'm here tonight. I had to take this midnight drive to find you. And as I come in through the door, I see her dancing on the floor beside you. Why do you always run?
Touch, that's true, and I